You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Today, I am thrilled to be welcoming back one of my favorite guests. She is one of the biggest stars in the industry right now and the queen of gangbangs and sex parties. Let's welcome back Kazumi.
Hi, I'm back.
Hi.
It's me again.
It's you again.
Not much has changed. Well, a lot has changed. I interrupt people way less. And I'm wearing a push-up bra now.
Okay. So that's it?
I started doing anal, and I still like gangbangs, so actually not a lot has changed.
Okay. All right. Well, we're done. That was a good interview. No. I have many questions for you because a lot has happened since you've been here. So back in 2022, you were only doing personal content platforms. So what made you start filming for studios?
Oh my God, yeah. I was a little baby.
I was a little slut baby. Yeah.
Now I'm like a big slut.
Yeah. You hadn't come in your full sluttiness yet.
Yeah, I got better extensions. I got a spray tan. I like fully entered porn. I feel like I just wanted to. Like, I don't know. There was like not really like a big overarching reason. Psych, I'm lying. I started seeing like a bunch of Vixen promo and I was like, this looks super cool. Like, I want to get into like major productions that like I just can't afford myself or like I don't want to pay for it myself.
Yeah.
And I also want to hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
I think I also saw like, what was it? It was like Ricky's Resort or like Project DTF. It was like a project by Ricky Johnson a long time ago, which was like a reality TV show porn where everyone was like fucking. And I was like, wait, actually, this looks kind of cool. Yeah. I feel like I also just wanted to feel like a real porn star.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I'm a real porn star.
Yeah, you're not just a content creator.
Yeah, shut up. I did it.
Because, yeah, back then you said you'd maybe film one scene for browsers. That's what you said.
How silly of me. Oh, my God. And now I've done, like, 4 scenes for browsers.
Yeah. So is it safe to say that filming mainstream was much different than what you expected?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I remember when I first got into this whole thing, there was, like, this whole stupid discussion between, like, you're not a porn star, you're, like, a content creator.
Yep.
Yeah, they are different. They're, like, so much more different. One of them takes, like, 30 minutes, and one of them takes, like, 16 billion hours. And one of them has, like, a makeup artist, and sometimes the makeup artist gives you a little straw, and then the rest is like you fending for yourself.
Yeah.
I like both. Like, I like doing my own content creation because I'm choosing my own talent. I'm choosing a location. It's within the comfort and confines of everything that I already want to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, mainstream can be, like, a little surprise. Like, like mainstream was like a box of chocolates.
Mm-hmm. Were there any chocolates in there that, like, you didn't want but you had to eat because you were already on set?
I ate all the chocolate, yeah. I liked all of it. But I came into mainstream already, like, with a huge platform, already very financially stable, and already doing pretty much the top companies. I did Vixen, I did Brazzers, I did Erica Less, which we'll talk about. So all my experiences were really great because I was only agreeing to things I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because the day rate for any mainstream is only a fraction of what I'm already making on my own platforms. Mm-hmm. So I felt like all the things I was doing was because I was doing it super fulfilled by the creative, like, mission.
Yeah. And a lot of people who do really well on their own content platforms often say that the reason that they shoot for studios is just like the traffic and the new members. Like, it's not for the day rate.
Actually, I feel like doing mainstream porn really killed my money on OnlyFans, actually.
Really?
Because now, I mean, obviously you could always Google my porn. Mm-hmm. But now, like, but those things were always leaks. Mm-hmm. Now it's like you could Google like an HD porn scene of mine. Mm-hmm. Like, the traffic that comes directly to my sites are people who just really fuck with me as a person and like really want to directly support me, the artist. So I would actually say like doing mainstream porn didn't really help me in terms of exposure because it's just, it's a beast that you can no longer control. Whereas, yeah. like, honestly, I could get just as much exposure doing a podcast like this, mm-hmm. or like doing a TikTok or doing like a viral YouTube video. And I feel like I've gotten a lot more fans directly from your podcast than I have from like a browser scene, actually.
Browser, did you hear that?
Whee! Thanks, Holly Randall's fans and Patreon.
So does that make you like kind of second guess your choice to do studio porn, or are you still glad you did it?
I didn't do it for the money, and I didn't do it for the exposure. I kind of just did it for the fun experience. Like, for example, I just did my first anal and my first DP. I could have definitely, and I will definitely have my first anal and DP on my OnlyFans, mm-hmm. but I wanted my first one to be in a super cool controlled setting, and I wanted like as many people to jerk off to it for as long as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. I feel like my overarching goal is to just have everyone in the world get a boner by me.
Oh my God, you're such a generous spirit.
I know. I feel like I'm like, you know, like how Superman, like his like one issue is that he can't be Superman everywhere. He's only one man.
Yeah.
He's not Superman. I'm like super slut. Like, I wish I could fuck everyone in the whole wide world, but I just got three holes.
I know, but you know, you're still young.
So I do porn.
And there's time.
Yeah.
There's and, time. And, you know, with like virtual reality and like the metaverse, who knows?
I'm scared of AI. I've had every company in the world approach me to do AI stuff. And I just don't know.
I don't get it yet. You have a lot of reasons to be apprehensive about it, especially in cases where people are asking you. You have to be really careful with like the contract and what they're asking you to sign away. Because there have been some companies, just regular like shoot companies, not anyone that you've shot for, mm-hmm. that have been sneaking AI clauses into the contracts.
Oopsie daisy.
Saying that by signing this model release, which is a standard model release that you're used to signing, you are like granting them like ability to use your content for AI in perpetuity.
Oh,
which
yuck.
Is bullshit.
Boo.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of AI because personally for me, I feel like AI is like just a different like niche fetish, just like hentai, mm-hmm. or like super CGI porn is anyways. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a different audience for it. I don't think it's ever going to replace the parasocial relationship of me being a little dickhead on the internet. I don't think like AI could create that yet. And don't try.
But it's also like it's interesting to see where that goes, because even if AI gets really good, right, people are always still going to know that they're talking to a computer. And is that going to matter to people or not?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to not matter to like a really small segment of people, because there's already super realistic sex dolls.
Yeah.
There's also super realistic ways to change like anyone's voice to sound like your voice. Mm-hmm. I think people still consciously choose like, I want to follow the journey of like this real person. Mm-hmm. I want to like relate to them in some way. So I feel like I'm safe for now.
And there's also probably people who would maybe prefer to talk to a machine because they're afraid of actual real human interactions. And if they're like conversing with a not real person, then they don't have to worry about like what someone thinks of them, because it's literally not a person.
So yeah. And also it's like, you can even think about it. Like a lot of girls on OnlyFans do have like a chatting for them. And I think a lot of people that are fans already know that.
They know that. Like, and there's
but there has to be a believable suspension of belief to be like, okay, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm talking to a real girl, and at least I know that the money that I'm giving her goes directly to that girl.
Right.
And she's still making content for me, which is a form of labor.
And if you're not talking to her directly, you're still talking to a person.
Yeah.
It's not a machine.
You might be a little dude in India, but it's still a dude, you know? Still
somebody.
We're stimulating
you're still having that human connection.
Yeah, and that matters. But you're still buying my porn, which is my vagina.
Yeah.
Or butthole. Or mouth.
Yeah.
And more.
What do you think about like those complete AI personalities like that have like are on Instagram, and they're literally like they're not a person, but they have like a following, and they're.
Those remind me of like when I would create like my own phone. I have like a text thread with my own number, mm-hmm. where it's just like me talking to myself. Not now. Like this was like back in the day when I was a fucking dweeb. And it was like cool to like send myself a fake message and then see myself reply and then have like a fake conversation back and forth. It's like you're just looking at the reflection of yourself. How boring. You're not like getting introduced to any new concepts or energies.
Yeah. But someone's still like behind that AI character, right? Like they're still creating that person.
I think those responses are generated.
Yeah.
Like ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You're just hearing what you want to hear. And I feel like the essence of human connection is like the surprise of like, maybe this person's going to just say something way off the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to hear like your weird memory when you were 19. Like, what happened then?
Yeah. Yeah. Though I got to say, like, there was actually like a new, somebody sent me a demo for an AI chat. They hadn't like really put guardrails on it.
It got really weird. Like, what if it makes me say a slur? I can't do that.
Well, that's where you're supposed to put in those guardrails to ensure that that doesn't happen. This one was just a demo, and I don't think that they had put in all the guardrails. And so, like, the conversation got really weird. And then I was like, okay,
it was slurring it up.
I'm uncomfortable with where this is going.
Yeah, you're like, I don't like this.
Nope, no more. So, I do have a question for you that I've been dying to know. You know, your career is blown up and you're all over the place. Do your parents know you do porn yet?
They don't know.
Oh my God.
LOL. I don't know. You know, it's actually kind of scary. Like, it makes me think of like, you know, like back in the 1950s, like you could have like a whole family with a guy and he could be also having a whole second family and like,
yeah,
like down the street.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, because it's like porn has become such a major part of my personality, and I actually legally just can't even shut the fuck up about it. I just can't stop talking about gangbangs and sex and porn all the time. And like when I'm around them, I'm just a totally different character and I'm not wearing a push-up bra.
Wow. Are you, what, I mean, what do you like around them?
I'm like a bitch, dude. Like,
okay, I'm a bitch to my mom.
I'm like an eldest daughter and I fucking suck. Like, I feel like they're not inquisitive. I don't think they really care either. They're just like, okay, she's alive and she's being a bitch, like whatever. They still think I do crypto. I mean, if they push and they shove, then I'll say, now I'm an influencer. Like, yeah, you know, I look like an influencer.
Which is true.
I do be influencing.
Yeah.
I influence people to jerk off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more. You know, sometimes they laugh. So that's cool too.
If they can jerk off and laugh at the same time, then you've really got it.
One of my first scenes on OnlyFans was actually me on a fuck machine while reading stand-up comedy. Yeah. It's like the stupidest, most unjack-offable video in the world. It was specifically Spider-Man pun jokes. Like, yeah, if you go on my OnlyFans, you can find it. I'm not good at it, and I have bad delivery.
I mean, to be fair, you were on a fucking machine, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's... Let's be, you know, reasonable. Are you still in a polyamorous relationship with the same guy you were dating back
then? Yes, I am. Wow. I win. I think it's so funny whenever I post my boyfriend, all the comments are like, he's going to wake up soon. He's going to wake up. He's going to figure out you're a slut and he's going to get the fuck out of there. Well, guess what? That was almost 4 years ago. We're still together and we're still going strong.
Wow.
Yay.
I haven't seen you post pictures of him. I wonder.
Because people
like
are so mean.
Yeah.
People are mean. I've posted him a few times, and every time I post him, it goes viral because all the comments are super cruel, or they'll send him my porn, or they'll call him a cuck, which isn't a bad thing, but that's just not like what he identifies as. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of keep it on my close friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is a hottie.
Yeah.
With a hammer.
Mm.
Obviously.
Yes. Must feel like he can live up to the hype. So... You also said in another interview that you were in the middle of a slight rebrand.
Rebrand is the wrong word. I'm here to diversify.
Okay.
So I really want to diversify my income. And as we know, and as everyone says to me every single fucking day, doing porn or like OnlyFans has like a limited time. We don't know how long this time is, but you know, Facebook's died off, like freaking Blogspot died off, Tumblr died off. It's only a matter of time before some terms of conditions change, or like the hype of whatever this is no longer as like making as, you know, it's not making as much money.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just looking to find the next big thing, which is just creating a stronger brand identity so I could get brand sponsorships and just different products to sell besides porn. Mm-hmm. Porn is always going to be my love. Like, I love doing it. It makes me so happy. But it was actually selling my Fleshlight and getting those tasty, tasty Fleshlight royalties that made me be like, you know what? Why don't I sell another product? Because this is kind of cool to just get residual income for probably the rest of my life. That rules. Yeah.
So what other products are you considering?
I'm actually in the works of making a comic book. That's super cool.
That's really cool.
I want to do like a comic book tour. And with that, I want to like start niching myself into like the gamer nerd community a little bit. I've been in every anime convention for like 8 years straight. Like I've been at Anime Expo since like 2014. I never even really talk about it because I feel like I'm Asian. It's just like, of course, like I watch anime, like duh. I just do that. Like, it's not like a thing I have to mention. I want to like get into somewhere there, or like I want to like start having a product, like maybe having an energy drink, or like maybe start a makeup line. I started a streetwear line earlier this year. It's kind of tanked. I'm going to figure it out.
But it's merch is hard.
Merch is hard. Not merch. My own streetwear brand that's like not related to like things with my name or face on it.
Okay, gotcha.
It was called Red Light District. It's still called Red Light District, but I had troubles with like shipping and handling. So I'm circling back and figuring that out. But I just want to find ways to leverage what Kazumi is right now before, you know, I fall off the face of the earth and like I'm no longer relevant because a new slutty girl arrives.
Yeah, no, but that's so smart. And I mean, you know, obviously from the start, I think you had like a real head for marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, you had like clear goals and you were not in here just like kind of like, oh, I'll try out porn and see how it goes. Like, it seems to me that you've always had a strategic idea about where you wanted to take this and like the next big thing.
No, I wanted to be big. I became big. And now I want to see if I have that same level of tenacity and problem solving and like do it with a totally different industry. But I just love doing porn. Yeah. I did start dipping my toes in TV. It's very exciting. I just did my first reality TV show. I don't know when it's coming out. Not before this comes out.
Okay.
Just stay tuned. It's going to be on Tubi.
Can you talk about what it's about at all?
So it's kind of like Real World, but for like content creators. Okay. I guess like specifically OnlyFans people. But all of us are on different types of platforms. Mm-hmm. And it just follows us as we live in this house for 8 weeks. So I just almost finished filming. I hope I get a cool edit. I know I'm going to get a really weird chick edit because I was the only porn girl on it.
Really?
Yeah. It had like implied bikini models. It had gay porn stars and it had a monogamous couple that only made content with each other. So I was the only like free balling weird chick. I talked about piss and gangbangs a little too much, too fast. So we'll see like how my edit goes. Yeah.
I know, because it's always like, I mean, the editing is everything, right? They really shape your character.
Yeah.
Edit it. Are you like nervous or are you just kind of like,
I will say, I know what I said, unless they cut it into something really weird. I'm not shaking in my boots this much. I will say, like, it did make me excited because I don't think an active porn star especially has ever been on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously a lot of us have, like, retired and done other stuff. But I really want to put my feet in, like, fashion and the food industry and just different things of different types of entertainment and media.
Yeah.
So it's been exciting to, like, kind of pioneer breaking that barrier while still doing porn.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of porn stars retire and then they kind of are like, fuck porn. And then I feel like then they're able to get those brand opportunities and deals.
Right.
But like a really important thing for me is being able to show like, I actually really like doing porn and I like getting fucked. So what about that?
Yeah.
No sad story. I just like to do it.
Well, and I think the people who are like the most successful are the ones who don't like turn around and say like porn was a terrible idea. Like Sasha Grey is one of them, you know.
Yeah.
She very much embraces her past. And then it's funny because a lot of people don't realize this because she's not like as big in this country, but like Sunny Leone is kind of technically the most popular porn star of all time.
Sunny Leone?
Really?
Yeah. Where is she popular?
Bollywood. She's fucking huge.
What?
She is like 25 million followers on Instagram. Like, can you look it up for me?
It's crazy. I know
it's an insane number.
I know Mia Khalifa is doing her thing with the fashion world. So it's exciting to see, like, porn girls, like, we're becoming couture.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Sunny Leone did Big Brother India.
What?
And that's what made her big.
That's so cool.
Over there. And now she's like, and it's, which is huge for India because, like, porn's not legal there, right?
Yeah.
So like the fact that a porn star was kind of able, and I think that's part of their fascination with her.
Yeah.
But she's, like, really diversified. 55 million followers.
That's a lot of semen.
Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah. She, you know, does fashion. She just started a restaurant. She has a makeup line, like fucking everything.
Yeah, I feel like crazy. The funniest thing is when people are like, what are you going to do after porn? Like, are you going to go die in a ditch? And I'm like, probably not, dude. Like, I'm going to be really good for a long time. And like, while I'm here and making a lot of money, I'm just going to get this money and put it in different stuff. And mm-hmm. then I'll just keep winning. Mm-hmm. And you'll just keep drinking off. So there.
Yeah. Well, we're also in a new world where, I mean, the internet and like all of these new advances in technology, these personal content platforms have really allowed people to become their own entrepreneurs and become their own brand.
Yeah.
Like, that was not something that you could have done like 15 years ago, really. 20 years ago, for sure.
Of course.
You didn't
Every girl has an OnlyFans.
Like, yeah.
A lot of these, I applied for reality TV a long time ago and they said no because I had an OnlyFans. And now it's almost unavoidable.
Yeah.
Like every hot girl is going to have an OnlyFans.
Yes.
Whether or not they do explicit or not is like up to their own discretion to share. But like,
right.
Yeah. It's like exciting.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, I'm excited to, I actually hate reality TV, but I might watch yours.
Oh my God. I'm so silly on it.
I just might. So you're one of the few like Asian stars performing right now.
Woo-hoo!
Like, how do you feel? Do you feel like any kind of responsibility about that?
I actually feel like there's so many Asian like performers right now because like there's Nicole Doshi, mm-hmm. there was CJ Miles, Jenny Rose, Ember Snow, Jada Kai. I feel like we're like in an Asian girl renaissance right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you, also Akira. That's our president. Yeah. Because I've never really felt like a token minority, mm-hmm. especially in mainstream. Like I feel like I would feel like that if I was consistently the only Asian sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's like there's just so many of us. Like, you know, it's like I like just did a scene of Connie, you know, like it like back then it probably would have just been like one Asian chick for the whole production. But yeah. Now it's like there can be multiple ones of us, especially since we also have such like different looks too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really getting typecasted into different roles. Mm-hmm. But I will say when I was 20 years old, I was shaking on my boots because I really wanted to wear a Japanese schoolgirl costume for a photo shoot for my 20th birthday. And I was like racking myself with guilt because I was like, oh my God, am I going to make the world a worse place for Asian chicks by being like such a slut bag? Mm-hmm. And I've just realized that I just represent myself. I do come from a community of people that is underrepresented. I can only hope that the person I am allows other people to see people like me and still continue to respect them.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Swag.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. So, of course, what we really want to talk about is Katsumi's Party, your new gangbang directed by Erica Lust. Erica is very well known for her feminist approach to porn. So was the fact that you did your first gangbang with her a surprise? Was it her idea? Was it your idea?
It was her first gangbang. Because I did my first gangbang with Black Raw. Mm-hmm. But I remember she was a little hesitant because... because I'm a feminist too, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she was like really concerned about showcasing female agency and making sure that like I always looked empowered and like looked like I was in control. Because I feel like a lot of women, especially, you know, they think about gangbangs and porn and they think of like it being really violent, it being like really selfish in terms of like only catering to male needs and not like what a woman wants. But in reality, every time I ask a girl, hey, like, what's your deepest, darkest fantasy? Almost every girl is like, dude, I would love a gangbang.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, this comes with the caveat that all the guys are super attractive and super respectful. And I've obviously done a lot of personal gangbangs in my real life, which I talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But something that, like, I mentioned when I had dinner with Erica Lust, as I was telling her this idea a long time ago, was porn, like, doesn't have, like, a cute gangbang. Like, what about, like, a romantic gangbang? Every time I've gone, a train ran on me in real life, which I guess is different than a gangbang, and a gangbang ran on me in real life, it's always been adorable. Like, it's never, like, an evil, like, violent mosh pit of, like, genitals. It's always been, like, oh, my God, are we doing this? And then, like, they make out with me, and then, like, another guy comes in, and then it's, like, a little thing, and then, like, we're having fun, and we're laughing, and it's, like, romantic, you know? And I feel like nowadays, a lot of guys, like, especially in OnlyFans world, because they don't want to tag as many people as possible, they're super into, like, reverse gangbangs because we're in a shortage of guys. So it'll be, like, one guy and, like, four top girls. And I am always like, no, I don't want to do that. That doesn't cater to my fantasy at all. I want cock. What the fuck? I've done a bunch of reverse gangbangs. But every time I do, I'm always like, ugh, this isn't for me. This is for the guy. Like, the guy wants me, Jules Blue, Kimmy Granger, and... and another amazing girl at the same time. Like, whose fantasy is that? It's the guys.
Yeah.
And the same goes for the reverse. Mm-hmm. If I want, like, the hottest, cutest guys to, like, kiss me and make out with me and then all have sex with me, yeah, that's, like, my fantasy. So she was a little hesitant at first until I explained that. And she was like, yeah, you're right. We should create something like that because the girls like it. Girls love gangbangs. Every girl deserves one. Even you, Holly Randall.
Baby, you hear that? yeah, I mean, that was one of the reasons that I loved talking to you in the last interview because we talked a lot about gangbangs.
Yeah.
And you talked about how empowered it made
you feel. I'm like the PR president for gangbangs. You know, I'm like making it couture, you know?
Making gangbangs cool.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and I've had other girls on and I've talked to them about gangbangs and they've all said like, the same thing, you know, like, I love that attention. I'm the center of attention. All of these guys are, you know, surrounding me. And it is interesting how we never look at it that way. And I think it's because we're so trained to think that women are like always being victimized by sex and like being overwhelmed in that way is always like a negative thing. And it's often not like that.
Yeah.
And I've shot three gangbangs in my life and every single one of them, the girl organized. I shot it for them and for their company and they loved it. And it was actually so much fun.
No, you can feel like, especially like now that I've actually watched a lot of gangbangs, these girls are so stoked. Like they're so happy. They're like, oh my God, this is the best day ever. Like when Erica Less, she showed me all the potential guys and then they all showed up and they were in these like tiny, like white, tidy whitey, like briefs. I was like, maybe God is real. Like, this is, like, the best fucking day ever. I, like, couldn't believe it. Like, I was in Barcelona in, like, this sexy castle location in, like, a cute robe. And there was just, like, these five guys. And they were all looking at me like, oh, my God, I can't wait to have sex with you. I was just like, yeah, like, I don't know how this doesn't rule. I feel like a lot of, like, anti-feminist people and are also anti-porn people. Mm-hmm. So, as a whole, they don't assume that girls want to have sex in general.
Yeah.
And then if you multiply it by like seven guys, they're like, oh, this is definitely like something that a woman just doesn't naturally consent to at all.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, bro, ask your girlfriend right now what she wants. She does not want to share you with another girl and have a threesome with you.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Like, we live with it because it's easier for us to be like more flexible with women.
Yeah.
Because if I bring a guy over, you're going to cry and burst into tears. Yeah. But a lot of us are leaning generally more to guys because if we're dating a guy.
Yeah.
So we probably would like two guys or 17 guys.
Yeah.
Or a million guys. It's going to rule.
Yeah. I mean, I also really liked the way that she shot it.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I did watch it.
The whole thing?
I actually watched it at my hairdresser's today. Because I tried to watch it earlier and, like, the password, like, wasn't working. So I went to my hairdresser's before I came here. And she's pretty cool. I'm like, do you mind if I work
the audio on?
Yeah. I'm like, well, she's in her own private salon.
Oh, okay.
So, like, do you mind if I watch a gangbang?
You're not at, like, Floyd's, like,
barbershop. No. She's her own, like, room. And I was like, do you mind if I watch a gangbang on my phone while you do my hair? And she was like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
And so, so I watched it and I really liked it was very different the way that Erica did it.
It was so meta.
Yeah.
It was like us talking about it. That conversation was actually a real conversation we had. I feel like, It was over the phone and on Zoom and like through like a lunch meeting we had. Mm-hmm. So all the things we said were things we had said to each other. And then she put it in the script. And when I was reading the script, I was like, huh? And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, like what a big brain genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that how, so it was a way to show that she was concerned about the female agency and making sure that this was something that aligned with her brand and also like with your desires, right? So it was a really clever way to show that like, yes, this is something that you wanted. And I actually liked a little bit of the banter and a little bit about, not that she was like necessarily like making fun of herself, but you know, you were just kind of like, look, Erica, like, yes, girls can like gangbangs. Like yeah. this is a fun thing to do. Like, you know, don't take this, I felt like it was like kind of taking the like don't take the feminist angle like too seriously sort of thing.
It was, yeah, it was interesting because I felt like I had so many girls reach out to me after I posted and were like, dude, like, thank you. Like, I really wanted to see this. And I feel like I don't usually have so many girls message me and say, hey, I'm watching your porn. Mm-hmm. It's obviously usually guys. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to start seeing, first of all, women watch porn and be happy about it, and also women pay for porn, thank you. Like, it's time for us to grow up and put our big girl panties on and pay for our freaking porn.
Yeah. And then I also liked how you know, there was, I mean, you guys talked about these back and forth ideas, right? And then like the tennis and then the pool and then like, so it really kind of showed how the idea evolved, and it kept it like loose and kind of casual and playful and fun. And then they incorporated, it looked like they were shooting on like a Hi8 camera.
I don't know.
Or like a,
it looks like a fancy rig for sure.
Okay. Well, maybe they used a filter because some of the footage was definitely like kind of early 90s, mm-hmm. reminiscent of that kind of like staticky sort of footage.
Yeah. And I liked how it looked like a freaking, like, I was showing it to my castmates on the show, LOL. I was, like, showing it. Mm-hmm. And I was, and all of them were like, dude, put this in, like, the Cannes Film Festival. Like, this is, like, freaking, like, filmed so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's another reason why I really love doing mainstream porn is, like, I like feeling like I made it, mm-hmm. you know? And I felt like for a long time as I was chasing and pandering to respectability politics about like, oh, I don't want to do porn, or oh, I don't want to do this or that, I started asking myself, like, what does making it actually look like? Does it mean like being on a real movie set? Well, what's the difference between this and that? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just doing porn.
Yeah.
I'm still acting. We're still doing a mood board. We're still having a million meetings. We're doing everything just like a real movie set does.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what I really should chase is what makes me happy and feel fulfilled. And that's what making it actually is.
Mm-hmm. And then you guys had, and I liked also too, how she brought in the consent checklist without actually like showing the consent checklist. Cause that's generally not something that you want to like show the fans. Cause it's usually like personal conversations that people want to have with each other, yeah. but alluding to that. So, and then I was actually, I have to say, I was curious to see if there was going to be a facial at the end, like what was going to happen with the cum. Cause I know that, for Erica, like, usually the culmination of a porn movie is, like, the guy climaxing, not the girl.
Yeah.
But she was very careful to show, like, I like the end when they were eating you out and they were, like, holding you up. So
that was the
like,
best thing ever.
Yeah.
I was like, OMG. I don't think I've ever gotten eaten out in a porn gangbang before. Like, it's like, and also, like, during a lot of porn gangbangs, the guys usually don't want to kiss because they're because they're homophobic. So they're like, oh, I just saw you put a penis in your mouth. Like, I don't want to kiss you. And I'm like, bitch, there was a dick inside my pussy and you're putting your dick inside my pussy.
Yeah.
Again. Life is one big gangbang. Never first or last. It's just be happy when it's your turn.
Yeah. And like, what about like double anal and double?
They did double vag. Yeah.
I was going to ask you if they did because I couldn't tell.
Yeah. They did double vag and I was like, this rules.
Was that a surprise?
No, I was like, put it in me. Like, put all the cocks in me at once. It was super cute.
Had you done double vag before?
Yes. Every time I do it, I feel like it feels like haram as fuck. Like, I'm like, whoa, like, should two dicks be in my vagina at the same time? But at the time, I didn't do anal, but I also wanted to be hardcore. Like, I wanted to feel like, there.
You want to take it to, like, the next step. I did it.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end, they did do, there was a facial.
Yes. There were so many facials.
Did you request that?
I think so, because I generally like come on my face. Hmm. I feel like for me, it's like, woohoo. But also, like, my partner's boundary is just no cream pies.
Yeah.
So that kind of, like, ex-nays that region. Mm-hmm. And I feel like coming on your boobs is, like, that was, like, what I did for, like, the majority of my career until I kind of was like, no, like, let's put it on my face.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big swallow girl. So where does it come go? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, where should it go?
Yeah, there's only limited places you can put it.
Yeah, I guess it could be on my butt cheeks, but yeah, that's lame.
That's like, kind of boring.
Yeah, yeah.
It always feels like a cop-out. I mean, when you have a cum shot on the face, like, you are very committed to it, right? You're going to have to, like, wash your face afterwards. Your makeup's done. Like, forget your hair.
Oh, I don't even wash my face. You know what I mean? I'm disgusting. I just come walk my way home. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, to me, it's kind of like, it's like the achievement of the scene is written all over your face, literally.
I remember I made a joke to my friends that, like, because I had, like, a bone to pick with feminist porn for a while. Because a lot of feminist porn was always, like, this, like, A24 lighting and, like, sensual kisses and this hot guy being like, hey, babe, how are you today? Are you doing good? Just checking in on you. And I kept being like, that's not what girls want.
Yeah.
Real porn for women is gangbang. Piss anal. Like, it's like, I feel like every time I talk to a girl about, like, what type of porn they actually watch or, like, what turns them on, there's always, like, some level of, like, rough sex or just, like, feeling, like, empowered because all these guys are giving them attention and, like, really using their pussies, with the caveat that these guys are hot and just respect them. Like, that's the core of, like, what all girls want. Like, they just want to make sure the guy respects them and sees them as human after, like, fucking them really hard, which is, like, what gangbangs are.
Yeah. And also, like, they're in a safe space where, like, they could, if they need to call cut or they need to pull back on something, they know that they can. And
that's why I love doing porn. Yeah. Because it's, like, I'm able to really explore my sexuality in such a safe space. Like, I used to do gangbang parties and I used to do, like I used to perform at sex parties, and it's like, either you fuck up a condom or you just pray, you know? Like, it's a miracle of life that I'm alive to this day. Like, my sexual hygiene is up here now that I do porn, you know? Like, my first dates with a lot of guys is bringing them to the testing clinic. Like, I'm a lot better at communicating my boundaries now and making sure all my partners are tested and just, like, generally in the realm of respecting me and my body, because I know this is my job and I can't fuck it up.
Right. So you've mentioned, obviously, that you do a lot of personal gangbangs, like, in your personal life. What's the difference between doing one on set and one, like, at a party?
I feel like the ones on set, you're still thinking about the aesthetic. You know, you're still thinking about opening up. There's still, like, a level of, like, you want to stay active. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, real sex takes breaks. You know, I've had a lot of times where it's like I'm, like, getting fucked by a guy, and maybe if the other guy is soft, instead of, like, continually fluffing himself, he just kind of, like, steps off and then just comes back when he's ready. Or, you know, like, it's just an ongoing sex bonanza for hours and hours where it's like, maybe I'll fuck two guys and I'll take a break and I'll cuddle, and then, like, some other guy will join in, and then, like, three and four more guys might join in. So there's, like, a less rhythm to it and more of just, like, waves of pleasure going in and out.
What's, like, the longest session you've ever had?
I've had some long days, some long nights. Some nights I still have memorized, yes.
What is the ideal number of men for a gangbang?
Now that I do anal, I feel like, and I haven't had a gangbang where I've done anal yet. I would say, like, okay, 1, 2, 8. Like, five is cool.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I feel like, I remember, like, my friend made a joke that, like, Spiegler said something like, you know, back in my day, like, a real gangbang was at least 11. That's too much. That's a lot. Like, a lot. I mean, if you want, like, the back to look like a rap cipher where they're all, like, in the back just waiting, that's cool, too. I like the ambience, but really, like, that's more of a train. So there's trains and then there's gangbangs. Trains is when it's, like, kind of, like, one at a time. Gangbangs are all at once. So gangbangs, it's, like, overwhelming because it's, like, your hands and your mouth are usually just as occupied as your bottom holes. Whereas, like, a train is kind of easier because maybe it's, like, I'm getting spit roasted and then all the other guys are just, like, in a circle, mosh pit, just, like, jerking off, waiting. I kind of like trains more. But trains aren't as cool to film.
Have you ever seen those scenes. I know that they've done them in Europe where they like kind of build these structures around the girls. So like,
I want to do this so bad.
Like the girl, like what I always thought would be hot is if you like had a wall and like you were like in doggy and the bottom half was on one side of the wall and like your top half was on the other side of the wall.
I'm saying that's what women want. That's porn for women.
Being stuck in a wall. Instead of stuck in a dryer, you're stuck in a wall.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I know exactly the one you're talking about. The one of like the poster of the girl's face and then her legs like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be there.
Yeah. Call or it's me. Just like, and it's.
Because I don't think a guy really wants to do that. I feel like he wants to see our faces. Yeah. I feel like we are the ones that are like, but dude, I want to be stuck in a fence right now, used by a bunch of possibly hot guys.
Why do you think that that is so hot? Like the idea of being used in that way and like having your like humanity taken away in a way.
I feel like because if we're exploring like power dynamics and kinks and fetishes in porn, it's the taboo-ness of it all because we're just generally told we're not supposed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like a lot of the porn that I like to create explores like these, especially on my OnlyFans, explores like a certain type of power dynamic of like, oh, like this is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that's where a lot of kinks come from, like, you know, like the whole nun thing or like teachers or like stepmoms or whatever. It's like it's wrong in our society.
Yeah.
But in this like safe space of entertainment and not education, we are able to really delve into these fantasies and enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah. And do you think that that's why women are so, like, they like the idea of a gangbang, but they don't usually articulate it or immerse themselves in it because they're not supposed to?
Yeah, like, I feel like a big reason why I've been really successful is because I've been really unapologetic about the fact that I'm just a really slutty, promiscuous girl. Mm-hmm. And there's no, like, shame or regret afterwards. There's no, like, moment of clarity that I experience personally where I'm like, yeah. And I feel like a lot of girls, as they leave porn especially, feel like it's more relatable to say, like, I didn't really like that. Mm-hmm. And to feel like it actually wasn't as empowering to them as it was. And maybe that's true. But, like, how do I explain it? Wait, could you ask a question?
I think it's, well, just touching on what you just said, I think it's a combo of two things, right? If people are, like, leaving porn and they feel they regret what they did, it could be one thing, right, where like maybe they didn't want to be doing it when they were doing it at the time. That's certainly a possibility, but also too, I think it's easier to be embraced by back into the folds of society if you reject what you had done before.
So I've been trying to get a few Hollywood agents, and a few of them had told me, like, we want you to do a rebrand where you kind of say, like, don't say how much you like it as much, because, you know, porn can be a dangerous place.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, what's the difference between this and like the music industry or entertainment? Like, we have Quiet on Set. Mm-hmm. We have the whole Diddy fiasco. Like, all forms of entertainment and actually all forms of any industry have some type of predatory or like evil behind the scenes action. Mm-hmm. Really, what you guys like is the story of us not liking it. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I like it. A lot of girls are afraid to articulate that they enjoy sex in general because they fear that once they show that it's something they enjoy, that access will be taken advantage of. And once they're taken advantage of, they won't be respected. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, their feelings in society are no longer as valid, you know? Yeah. And we can see it all the time because it's like, if a girl like me experiences consequences, a lot of the flamers on the internet will be like, see, that's what you get. Mm-hmm. That's the consequences of your actions. Mm-hmm. What are your kids gonna think? What about this? What about that? They're like waiting for the moment we fall, because in the real world that happens to a lot of girls. It's like once they break into this fantasy and like actually indulge and enjoy themselves the same way men are, you know, there's supposed to be consequences. And that's why a lot of girls don't want to articulate that. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy can say all day, like, I want to have a threesome with my girlfriend. And that threesome was almost always assumed to be with a girl. Whereas if that same girl is like, I want a train ran on me, then she gets shitted on, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it's a dynamic that I feel like is more taboo for us.
Yeah. Do you find that, you know, now as a recognizable porn star and somebody who unashamedly admits that she enjoys sex, do you ever encounter people who try to take advantage of that? Like, assume that you're somebody who wants to have sex with everybody and therefore them, because you're a porn star?
I've had some Kazumi groupies for mm-hmm. sure. But I don't feel like these guys wanting to have sex with me are doing it because I'm Kazumi. I think they're just doing it because they're generally perverts. I feel, but that's because I'm like in pervert world like my whole life.
Yeah.
I will say that sometimes there's an assumption that I'm always horny, so I'm always like okay with everything.
Right.
And that's kind of annoying. Like there's been sometimes like where I'm on set and like there's like kind of like a new concept sprung up on me that makes it a little bit more hardcore. Mm-hmm. And they'll make a joke like, oh well, you love that anyways, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, yeah, I did, but some heads up would be yeah. cool. Or lately it's been kind of like this experience where I'm in mainstream spaces, like when I'm doing TV stuff, where like there'll be like certain microaggressions. Like I remember I was at this party with these producers and stuff, and everyone drinks and I'm sober. I don't drink at all. I'm allergic. I'll get pregnant. And this
I'm allergic. I'll break out in handcuffs.
Yeah. And this lady was like, you know, it's crazy that you don't have to get blackout drunk to do what you do. Excuse me. It's crazy that you think I have to get blackout drunk to have sex. Like, yeah. Sorry, I don't really feel that way whenever I'm at work or when I just have sex in general. That's a projection of, like, how you feel about sex. Mm-hmm. Or, like, when I'm hanging out with my vanilla friends, they'll say something like, you know, we really respect you because I didn't expect you to be so smart. Because usually a lot of girls, you know, they just like to make this fast, easy money. And I'm always like, pause. What about my industry is fast or easy? Mm-hmm. You know, especially when we see all day PR, porn has like the worst PR in the world because every other day, like they'll post about some girl overdosing or just having an issue. And it's like, what's so easy about it? You know, a lot of you guys would never trade places with me because you can't handle the lack of respect that it comes with it. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have to like keep pandering to some type of respectability politics. Even I feel like I have to like dance like a little monkey so that way I can be in the same room as you people. But we're all the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good point. Damn, because you're fucking telling it like it is.
Yeah, like...
Speaking of, let's talk about anal.
I love anal!
It's been on your porn bucket list for a while now, right?
It has been.
And have you done it yet?
I did it. The scene is not out yet. I hope it comes out soon because I want everyone in the world to jerk off to it. But I will tell you that I had a really hilarious journey for anal.
Doing about a dominatrix, I heard.
I had a dominatrix give me a bunch of enemas in on the hotel bathroom. I shat everywhere. I was like a shitty water balloon. I told my bi friend about it. He was like,
"So wait, hang up." Like, how did this dominatrix thing? Like, was she a friend that just happened to be a
yeah,
dominatrix?
Yeah. She's a friend that she's okay, not like
you didn't
a random
like hire someone.
She's not like a random Craigslist dominatrix. Okay. I did hire her. But I was like, oh my God, I'm paying her hourly and I'm not getting clean. What the hell? Like, I paid her like almost $3,000 because it took me so long to clean out. Like, I just.
She charged you by the hour for the anal cleaning?
Yes. I was like, oh my God, I should have just done like a day rate. Like, I didn't know. I also just didn't eat clean. I was just a little dickhead. I didn't have any psyllium husk. I didn't do any type of preparation. I learned a lot about myself.
Yeah.
One was that I don't want to do it alone. So then I got my...
You don't want to clean out anally alone.
Yeah, I don't want to do that alone.
Really?
No, I feel...
It's usually like a very private thing that people do.
I told my friends and they were like, wait, what? So I called my boyfriend. I was like, hey, I feel like I'm still doing this wrong. Can you help me? So we had an enema party. He came over. He got his enema bag. I got my enema bag. And we did it together. And I felt like that was still wrong. Like, I feel like... Like, I felt like I was distracted because now we're just hanging out, shitting in front of each other. So I was like, never mind. Also, like, my friend was, like, also helping stretch out my ass, too. And then mm-hmm. he got, like, a boner and then he started jerking off. And I was like, we've lost focus. We've, like, lost the plot line here. I still want to do anal.
You didn't film any of this, did you?
No, this is for me. This is, I have a lust for learning. My next thing that I want to learn how to squirt. So if anyone wants to squirt with me and have a squirt party, call me. Valerica Steele. And then the next one, I got a colonic.
Mm-hmm.
And I like found that so interesting. Have you ever done a colonic?
Oh, yes. And they I love and hate them. It's like the most uncomfortable 45 minutes of your life, but you feel great afterwards.
Yeah, they had like the little like calm meditative music, yeah. And you can watch the like little meteors, yeah. Pour, like come you can out of you.
That's the best part is watching like the poop come out, and then the person like tells you about like your life based on your poop. They like know what you.
Yeah,
eat.
It's like astrology, but yeah. Like, shit. But I felt like walking out of it, I felt like I was swollen with water. Like I felt like I had like a little water baby for a few days.
Really?
Then I got super skinny. Then I became a skinny legend. I loved it. And the next one was Tommy King, actually. We had an enema party.
Really?
But she didn't do it with me. She just watched me do an enema in her bathroom.
Okay.
But she was coaching me like detail by detail, like how to do it her way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she had the best foolproof method. Also, I asked her about how to do an enema, like, months ago, and I, like, forgot. And then I asked Nicole Doshi, like, her enema process, and she sent me Tommy King's copy and paste, like, enema process as well. So I guess it's being passed around, like the Bible, or, like, you know, like a handbook for all sluts everywhere.
Yeah, it's like a generational kind of,
yeah,
like, learning. I mean, this is what I love about the adult industry is the fact that, like, girls, like, share anal cleaning out tips with each other.
I've gotten Joanna Angel's method.
I have too.
Yeah.
There was a guy that I was dating before I met my husband who had a huge dick and loved to have anal sex. And I called Joanna about that. Joanna has been consulted on many an anal task. She should do a workshop.
She probably has, actually. She probably has. I asked Adriana Chechik.
Yeah.
Every girl that has... I asked Alexis Tay. Any butthole girl, I was in there. And they all, surprisingly, were so different. Like, each girl has, like, a totally different method that works for them. And I was completely fascinated. I'm like, wow. And then I did it. Then I did anal. And that was, like, taking DMT. Like, that like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm never going to be the same.
So you enjoyed it, I assume.
That fucking ruled. Every guy I talked to who always was like, let's, like, do anal. And I was always like, shut up. Was always like, you're going to love anal. And I'd always be like, shut up. Like, shut up.
And you did.
And I did, and I loved it. I was like, you guys are so right. It was so funny. I saw Mr. Lucky at a party a few days ago, and I was like, dude, I love anal. I said, hi, I love anal. And he was like, are you, like, hitting on me? And I was like, no, I'm just telling you, I really love it. Like, I want to get fucked in the ass everywhere. I saw Mike Adriano. I was like, dude, I love anal. And he was like, I was like, no, I'm just telling you, I love it. And it made me skinny. I like lost 15 pounds.
You did the anal diet.
Yeah, yeah. I like started eating gummy wares and coconut water. I love it.
So did you find that like you don't eat before a scene? Because people, like you said, everyone's different.
I did do a day where I did an enema after eating like bullshit. Mm-hmm. I can still do it. It's just knowing that I'm going to have to be in the bathroom for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Like, do I want to, like, suffer for 3 hours but have a fun cheeseburger moment? Or, like, do I want to suffer for only, like, half an hour but eat sadness? Like, it's – you just – yeah, it's just choosing your two destinies.
What's the best kind of food to eat if you're going to eat before anal?
I guess, like, whatever the fuck you want. It's just making sure that you have at least 3 hours, like, in store to suffer in. Mm-hmm. In the bathroom. It's a very humbling process because you're doing it all alone. Mm. And I didn't know that.
Well, I thought you weren't. You were doing enema parties.
I know, but now I do it alone. Oh. And now it's like...
Oh. Sad and lonely?
I thought we did it with our friends. I don't know. Like, when you fuck... Like, it's like, this is a two-way street. I will say, like, now, I have no patience for fluffing. How dare you come into this set with a soft penis after I've suffered in this bathroom for 3 hours? I will never tell people to do that thing that they do with the Trimex, but I'm always just like, what'd you do?
Yeah.
Nothing? Okay. Like,
whereas your girl was here with her enema bag for 3 hours getting ready for today.
Yeah. How dare you?
Don't you come at me with that soft dick.
Yeah. Like, if I see it and they're like, there's good fluffing protocol too. Mm-hmm. Like, a really good guy on set, like, once his dick is soft, knows to direct the focus elsewhere while he figures it out. Mm-hmm. A bad guy that's inexperienced on set will just continually wait for you to get it hard, like, mm-hmm. through, like, sucking your dick or, like, fucking you super stupidly. Mm-hmm. Those guys should go to jail. They should be behind bars because you have like wasted all my saliva and pussy juice. I hate
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. The worst is also too, like when they can't come and they're just like asking you to suck them off and like tickle their balls for like an hour.
No, that's like, there needs to be like a handbook of like, dude, just go in the bathroom and jerk off. Yeah. Like why? And then like run out and say, yeah. it's coming. It's coming. Yeah.
Get yourself there. Yeah. yeah. When I've talked to guys about whether like, you know, cause some, every guy is a bad day and some times it's just not going to work. And they've all said like 20 minutes is like the cutoff. Like if you can't get hard after 20 minutes, like you're just,
yeah,
you got to call the scene.
Yeah.
And like, let them bring somebody else in.
I feel like, cause guys don't understand that that's labor for my jaw and my yeah. pussy. Like, and I'd only have so much liquid, even if I super duper hydrate.
Yeah.
And it's like now that's like my thing too. That's like, I guess changed since I've started having porn sex mm-hmm. is like in real life, if your dick is not hard, I'm not a fluffer. Like, I, like, if you're, like, shy about it, I'm like, we just gotta do something else, guys. Like,
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. So I'm gonna ask you a few non-porn related questions, if that's okay.
It's fine.
Okay. I realized that I had you look at those questions out there, and then I don't know if you, there were any that you were like, meh.
No, they were all fine. They were all fine. So normal. Okay. I thought you were gonna, like, when it said, is that okay? I thought you were going to say something like, what happened to you when you were like 19? Then I would be like, I don't know if I want to talk about that here.
No. This was just I made a note to myself as a segue. And my segue is, now it is no longer a segue, I'm going to ask you a few non-porn related questions if that's okay.
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. What qualities do you value the most in a friend?
Open-mindedness. Like, and that doesn't necessarily just mean for sex too. Like everything about me is super adventurous. Like I want to travel and I don't want to be in a resort. I want to like be in a hut and I want to eat the local food. I want to get diarrhea after and I want to feel true suffering like a real person.
Bring your enema bag.
Yeah.
I want to feel true suffering.
Yeah.
You want to really immerse yourself in the culture.
Yeah. I like adventurous people. If you're a picky eater, lose my number. Yeah.
You would actually be, I mean, speaking of reality TV, you would do a great job as a, like, Kazumi travels the world and, like, tries,
I
like,
know.
Food all, like, an
I'm,
Anthony Bourdain kind of thing.
Fingers crossed, pitching that idea to a reality TV show place right now. So, fingers crossed.
I'm not the only one with good ideas around here. What's the best compliment you've ever gotten?
I think the best compliment I ever got was, I don't know. Oh, darn. I didn't have that in my little storage unit. I think, like, the first time I had sex with a guy, he told me my pussy felt like a bag of sand. Like a warm bag
of sand. Oh, okay. Not like a scratchy bag of sand.
No, like a warm bag of sand. Okay.
And like, that's a compliment.
And, like, kind of like a hot pocket. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you.
That's when you knew
what's your future not a compliment is when I have sex with a normal vanilla guy and he's like, whoa, your pussy's actually like really tight. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Yeah. What makes you happy?
I like good food, good sex, good company. My motto is I'll try anything twice. I like new experiences all the time. Because the first time I might be gassy. You know, or I didn't enema correctly. So I just like to try new things. I like to learn a lot. Like I like did my first like small penis humiliation jerk off instruction. And I like called a friend, which was another dominatrix homie, Astro Domina. And she gave me a bunch of notes. I wrote them all down. And then I like inputted that information into my video. Those things are exciting for me. Like I like to like constantly have variety, especially with like my penis.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of like research and effort that you put into your porn is truly admirable. Like I love.
Thank you.
You're like, I'm gonna do a small penis humiliation video and I'm gonna do my research about it.
Yeah, I learned how to dick ride by like calling like mentors and flying them in to hotel rooms and we would hump pillows together. Like, wow. Yeah, like I'm serious. I'm not at Kimmy Granger level yet. She's crazy.
Is she like the queen?
I think
humper?
She's the queen of dick riding for sure.
Huh.
Yeah, but I can like, you know, I can do my thing. Will a writer too. I'm like a dick writer studier.
Okay. I feel like you're going to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe in you.
Dick writing, squirting and doing the splits on a dick are like my next frontiers.
Ooh, that last one's really tough.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while. Yeah, that'll take me the longest.
Yeah, I believe in you.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see yourself in 10 years besides doing splits on a dick?
That's going to take me a few years. So I'm 27. When I'm 37, I hope I'm still hot. I hope so hard that I'm still hot because being hot is awesome. I hope that I'm still making good money somewhere, somehow. I think at that point, I'd like to have my first kid. I want to be pregnant once, and then I want to have a surrogate for the second one. Hmm. But I want to start trying for my first kid at 35. Hmm. Like, I want to have, like, kids, like, pretty late. So I think I'm going to be a hot MILFy mom. And I would like to live in Europe, actually. Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that's interesting about having kids. How many do you want?
Two.
Yeah?
One boy, one girl, and they're going to be the coolest kids ever.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Yeah. When people are like, oh, like, what are your kids going to think? I'm going to be like, in the future, everyone's going to do porn. So they're not going to care. They're going to be woke, and your kids will be broke. So there.
You know what's so interesting is my mom said something like that back in the 70s when she was on a press tour for her book. She did an interview with, I think it was A Current Affair in Australia. And the guy asked her, and he was like, he said, what are your kids going to think? And then he said, what are your grandchildren going to think when they see that, like, you know, granny was off having like a good old time at the Playboy Mansion? And my mom was never a porn star, but she did, like, my mom loved gangbangs. Like, you guys actually, like, remind
me
of each other a lot. She was very, like, she used to call herself, like, the goddess of love. And she would go, and she would be very generous with her love. And she said she'd go to these sex parties, and she'd go and have sex with, like, the ugliest guy in the room. Because, I she wanted to be that kind of person.
Who's, I love, like, fucking the ugliest guy in the
giving to
room.
The needy.
Yeah. I'm a very charitable pussy. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So my parents went to orgies, and they did all that stuff. And so he asked her this question. And you can imagine what doing these kinds of interviews were like in the mid-70s. You know, like the misogyny.
Some hater alert, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's, like, so much worse than it is now. And she said, she goes, when I have grandchildren, it's going to be a different time, and they're not going to care, like, what granny did, you know, when she was young and having fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think about that, and it's, like, so true.
Yeah, we're heading towards a level of progression where, like, it seriously doesn't matter. Like, I don't think Kim Kardashian's kids are like, my mom has a sex tape. Yeah. I think they're just like, my mom is Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah. It's interesting how it's, like, on one set, in one end we're going that way, and then on the other end we've got all this, like, crazy legislation trying to rule out porn. But that happens all the time. So
yeah, boots, bitter.
Yeah.
You know.
What was your favorite subject in school?
English. I always wanted to be an author. Mm-hmm. And then when I felt like people weren't really reading books anymore, I, like, went into school for screenwriting. I like telling stories, and I like reading people's stories. I always say people are the best books. So that's just something that I want to continually do.
Yeah.
I might make a Substack. I don't know. Mm. I want to, like, write more.
Yeah.
I wish that was, like, a medium that more people appreciated, though.
But people still do read.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like we're, like, the content that people, like, look at right now is, like, video content. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a vlogger. Like, it's, like, as much as I try my hardest to be that type of girl, I'm just not her. I'm not a streamer. Either. I've never been a webcam girl. Like, I don't like face-to-face camera stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to, like, either bounce off of somebody or I want to write it down.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. And I don't like to watch, like, vlogs. Like, I need to read it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's funny, like, even if I'm doing research for, like, a podcast, and I, like, watch other podcasts, I don't actually don't watch other podcasts. I read the transcript.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, I don't listen. And they're also, I'm also much faster.
They're also kind of funnier because they're so dry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is one lesson your job has taught you that you think everyone should learn at one point in their life?
I think nothing's on purpose. Do your fucking research. I felt like a lot of the times I did a scene in my first, especially, like, when I was first contracted to Vixen, I just, like, sprung. No, that's a lie. But the day before I signed into my Vixen contract, I spent a whole day with Adriana Chechik, and I just asked her question after question about positioning, about, like, what I should eat before a scene, about, like, how I should pose, how I should suck dick. And I felt like that gave me such a huge leg up just asking a few questions. Mm-hmm. We're in the age of the internet where, like, so much information is, like, readily available. Like, every porn star we know has done a podcast talking about how to do certain things, how to do experiences, how to do your fucking taxes. Like, it's in everyone's best interest to come at everything and just do your best every single time. Mm-hmm. And the way you do your best every single time is bring applied knowledge.
Yeah. Very scholarly approach.
Yeah. I'm a student. Well, less for learning.
Speaking of, last question. What are three books you would recommend to my audience and why?
Specifically to your audience. Mm-hmm. Three books. I really like anything by Chuck Palahniuk, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I would recommend that to your audience. He wrote Fight Club.
But yeah.
He wrote this cool book called Snuff, which is about, which follows the story of a chick who is doing a 300-guy gangbang. This was, like, following the trend of, like, Annabelle Chong and, like, mm-hmm. Alexis, or who was, like, the 500 chick? Texas?
Houston?
Houston 500 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she did, like, a 300-guy gangbang. It's a fictional book. But it follows the perspective of the girl, the first guy, the last guy, and, like, I think, like, two guys in between. Like, really? Number, like,
17. I had no idea that he wrote a book like
it's
that.
It's a cool book. Like, it's, like, so gross and nasty. And I also just, like, appreciate his style of writing a lot. Mm-hmm. Man, I haven't read a lot. I guess that's a question. I should have said just choose one book.
Okay, what about so it was actually three movies or books. So there we've hit one book. What about, like, one movie?
You know, one of my favorite books ever, one of my favorite movies ever was Nymphomaniac 1 and Nymphomaniac 2. So that's two movies. Hmm. I just liked it. I remember watching that too early, like in high school, and being like, wait, this is sick. That was probably the wrong, like, moral to take out of the story. But I feel like as I've always watched, like, sluts and sex workers and promiscuous women on TV, I was always drawn to, like, how powerful I felt they were. Mm-hmm. To, like, take charge in a world where it's, like, you know, like, like, actively showing that you liked sex was, like, not cool. Mm-hmm. Even though she gets pissed on and dies in the movie. Oh, no, I spoiled it. But it's a good movie. I like stuff by Lars von Trier.
Wow. All right. Those are some very solid recommendations. Kazumi, thank you so much for your time. We're going to do a quick little Patreon-only Q&A after this. But in the meantime, can you tell everybody where they can find you online and where they can find your new Erica Lust movie?
Hello. Hi. My @ is Kazumi's World on OnlyFans, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter. And you should watch Kazumi's Party on ericalust.com.
Fantastic. And you guys can follow me @ Holly Randall on Instagram and on X. Go to patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered to watch these interviews streamed live and get access to the bonus Q&As. And thank you guys so much for watching. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.